I'm Matt Bush with BPR News. I'm speaking with Jeremy James. He's a senior who will be graduating this winter from UNC Asheville. Jeremy, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
So tell us, you were one of the presenters at the African Americans and Southern Appalachia Conference earlier this year. You presented on some research you'd been doing about mentorship at universities in this region. So tell us a little bit about what you studied.
So I studied mentorship and how African American students receive it at five distinct schools in Western North Carolina, UNCA, Mars Hill, Western Carolina, Warren Wilson, and I'm leaving one off right now, Appalachian State. And I just was curious to know how students like myself are receiving mentorship at the university, specifically faculty advised mentorship.
What drew you to this topic? What made you want to look at this?
So I originally got drawn to this topic from a friend of mine this summer. She was an environmental major, and she approached me and she was like, "Yo, Jerm, do you have a mentor?" And I was like, "Yeah, I have like three or four that helped me out." And she explained to me that at the time, it had been 3 years, and even her senior year, she's pretty much done all on her own, figuring out like what classes she should take, internships and all this. So that, you know, made me curious. I wonder, are other students going through something like this? And my advisor was like, "You should look specifically at, you know, your culture, your group, to see how that's looking."
What's the significance of mentorship at the collegiate level as a college student? How significant it is to have mentors and have more than one, have different people? How significant is that role for a college student?
That role is very significant. Like, especially, I guess, this new period of college where we're at, where so much is based off of connections. So I don't know everyone's situation, but I know my situation going into next year. It's one of the top things they recommend, to already have a mentor or have somebody in place that you want to work with while you're doing your research. That mentor, that connection allows, like I said before, internships, job connections. When it comes time to getting your research read or someone looking over it, they're going to make sure it's thorough and correct. That connection is just pivotal in going to the next level. That connection becomes even more stronger and more necessary when you reach, when you're trying to get your master's degree or your PhD degree. Specifically, I believe it's about a 50% rate that people end up dropping out at. And then the number goes up, like dropout rates for African-American students and Hispanics when we reach PhD in grad school, because it's just like there's no support. A lot of us are first generation, so we struggle with knowing the necessary steps to take or even how to go about writing the dissertation.
You specifically looked at the number of faculty at each of these universities and colleges that were African-American that could provide mentorship to African-American students. So tell us first what you found out in your research.
What I found out was that, I mean, a lot of schools, well, the five schools in our area, the five major schools at that, lack faculty inclusion. And this, right now, speaking specifically about African American faculty, is where it lacks. All the schools were below 5%, which makes that a predominantly white institute. Student ratios pretty much matched with the faculty ratios of like being below 5%, all besides Mars Hill. And the reason behind Mars Hill is because of their athletic department and I guess the scholarships they're able to give. But, you know, what I found through this was that a lot of students that I interviewed came back to me and they mentioned diversity and how being able to see people that look like them on campus are in that position encourages them to, you know, want to continue on with education or even reach for that dream, you know, whatever that dream may be. I think one of the most surprising things that I mentioned, and all the people I interviewed were African-American students, they mentioned outside of our own race to other races of like where this is lacking. You know, when we say diversity, we often look at it in just the black and white perspective. And a lot of these students realize that diversity goes beyond black and white. You know, it involves Latinx communities, Asian communities. And, I mean, sure enough, I've gone through afterwards after these interviews and looked up these numbers, and it's like you're pretty surprised at how much diversity we truly do lack, although colleges and schools always, you know, hit this point of we're diverse.
I guess speak from your experience too, of mentorship, and have you been able to have African-American mentors? Is it different from having mentors of a different race? I mean, just speak a bit, I guess, from your experience and how, mm-hmm. now that you have this research and these numbers that back up your research showing the lack of diversity. I mean, just speak from your experience what it's been like as far as having mentors through your college career.
All, like, three of my mentors that I consider to be, like, pivotal are all white women. And I like to add that through doing this research, I realized that at the end of the day, the complexion of your mentor doesn't matter, but where it begins to matter is, and this comes from my experience also, the women that helped me, they can only help me so much. They can only understand so much of who I am. Whereas I've only had truly one black professor or one black doctorate in education or academia that I've met. And the conversations that I would have with him, it's like he was hitting the hammer on the nail of how I felt about situations. Or if I asked him a question about something, he understood what I meant by it. I didn't have to go into further detail. Like he just knew. So that's where the difference comes. It's just that established connection or that established background. But I mean, hitting on that, I have not had an African-American mentor. I haven't had someone that's the same complexion as me even teach one of my classes. Yeah, it's definitely lacking.
You also mentioned, and it's all these universities, but I think particularly the one I know from people I've talked to at the head of UNC Asheville, talked about trying to diversify their student body. How important would it be to diversify the faculty to attract maybe a more diverse student body? Is there any sort of correlation there, do you think? I mean, what sorts of things can these universities do really to increase the diversity of the people that work there and go there?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how I think you fix that issue is, I don't want to sound like just saying it, but like you have to hire a faculty of color. You have to stop. The issue that I read up on was that, and not that tenure is an issue, but when certain professors are placed on tenure, I look at it like an MBA roster chart. So if there's 15 slots and 10 of these slots have already been filled and they have contracts, you can't trade them. It's only 5 other slots that need to be filled. How many of those people are African-American that are being interviewed, are of Asian descent or Latinx descent? How many of these people are, you know, actually fitting the diversity? But I guess where the issue also lies is when these departments create their majors or the chair or whatever, they all try to fit, I'm doing air quotes here, like a scheme of how the department should look. So a lot of times implicit bias is passed off, implicit or explicit, who knows, is passed off to the people that are interviewing because they didn't go to the right school or they don't fit how the faculty should look or resemble or be. So I think how you stop that and make that is that you, academics and people in academia have to, I guess, drop this bravado. Like, just because you have the title of doctor or whatever from whatever school you went to that's prestigious, it doesn't matter. A million other people have that title as well. You need to, I guess, learn inclusion and learn that diversity does make education a better experience. Not for people of color, but for everyone at that.
What other things, as you were doing the research, did you find that maybe surprised you, really stood out to you?
Two things in particular that really surprised me. The first was microaggressions. And microaggressions, I mean, as a, you know, this black man, I feel like I encounter microaggressions every day. And if it's become a point with microaggressions and these little comments and little things of like, let me touch your hair and all that, that you no longer just kind of phase it out. It's just everyday talk. But when asking the people I interviewed about this, they would speak to this on like levels. Some would, one student in particular laughed at me when I said microaggressions. And he's like, nah, those are macroaggressions. You know, like these are big experiences that happen. So we try to play them down like they're small. But that was surprising to hear every student have at least 5 or more stories on microaggressions. The other would be, I guess, like I said, going back to diversity, the fact that they would mention that to me a lot, that was really shocking. And I guess the third element would be the lack of mentorship, our faculty advised mentorship. I went in with the idea that I was expecting a lot of people to have mentorship or some form of it. Out of all the people I interviewed, only one actually had like actual mentorship.
So you have here at the end of the PowerPoint, you have, you say, you know, you have in conclusion, and the question is, why should we care? So if someone were to ask you that, how would you respond?
I just gave this presentation again yesterday, and I don't think my answer is changing with this. I mean, we should care because I don't want to make this solely about me, but know that there are like a lot of Black kids out there like myself that dream of wanting to be doctor or whatever, whether it be in medical or whatever, or even a lawyer. We're not placed in a position where we're able to see a lot of people like ourselves there. So this should matter, or we should care, because if you're able to put more people on staff and faculty and give more representation, I think our numbers will grow in colleges. I think a lot of people would be not chasing the same dreams, the same goals of jobs. But I don't know, it's important because it's just a lot of kids that dream about doing something but don't see it firsthand done by others.
And last, I did want to talk to you about microaggressions, because I know in your presentation you mentioned that too, and you mentioned it here as we're chatting today, how much that stood out. How do we address that? You said it's so common. Mm-hmm. That you would at some points just sort of try to block it out or act like it doesn't happen. But it's obviously it happens quite a bit. So is there a way to address that other than telling people, you know, be very cognizant of what you say? I mean, how can, you know, I as a white man, you tell me, like, how is that something you can tell white people, mm-hmm. To address that so that it doesn't happen as often and we get to the point where it just doesn't happen at all?
So I say this as a quote to allude to something, and I hope you get what I mean. J. Cole has this line where he says, fear is lack of understanding. And I think a lot of times, as Black people, we are feared. Because I realize a lot of microaggressions that happen to me are verbal, or just like these, like I said, people touching my hair, something like that. I realize it's the lack of them not understanding. So I see that if people are able to like truly just sit down and ask questions and talk and understand where we're coming from a little bit more, maybe these microaggressions wouldn't happen as much. But I understand that's a big step of trying to get white people or get people outside of my race to understand my culture and who I am, so to where these things don't happen. Because, I mean, everybody makes stereotypes, in some form or way says some type of microaggression. The key is just to get people to understand, to be aware of the other side and to realize why certain things that are done or said are wrong. So it's just gaining understanding. Go to UNCA, take a African studies class or something, you know?
Well, so my question, is there anything else you'd like to add of what you researched and what you found? And as you say, on the last slide here, what's next? I mean, so is there anything else you'd like to add about this?
I guess what's next is that, I mean, I would love to continue doing this research and going on, especially going to PhD school. I'm looking to continue this. So, I mean, if you ever see me on the street, feel free to stop me. Maybe we can do an interview.
Well, Jeremy James, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, man.